Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. My name is your name too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, thank you guys for tuning in to episode 1702. Got some news and commentary coming up here in just a little bit, and then I'm going to talk about something that's really been tugging on my heart this week. We have a story of a veteran. PTSD goes on a shooting rampage. Kills 9 people. There's more behind that story. And that's what I'm going to talk about. There's quite a bit more. And I think it's timely that we talk about this. We are going to... What I want to do over the next week is put together a program for next week's show to focus more on the inauguration, the events surrounding the inauguration of President Trump. Because the leftists are calling for social disorder, civil unrest, what they call civil disobedience. But that's going to be my focus for next week. This week, I want to talk about this issue in the news, but the Fort Lauderdale shooting. We watched that unfold and followed that very closely as it was unfolding. We're going to talk about some of the influencing factors there and the story behind the story on that. Before I get into the news, there's something that really just irked me. As you know, we had the youth one-time pad contest, Christmas contest, and we had a young girl from Texas won a collector item, Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock. It is the Christmas Story Collector Edition Red Ryder BB gun. Fantastic. Beautiful. Well, we got that sent off. But I want to tell you something that blew me away. To ship it off, I went to FedEx. You know they have the Kinko's FedEx stores? Got this long box, lay it on there, and then she says, the gal says, okay, what do we got here? I said, it's a BB gun. She said, where's it going to? I said, Texas. She goes, I mean, like, who's it going to? I'm like, I don't know. Code name Girl Smiley. It's an adult will be receiving it. She goes, yeah, but you have to send this to a licensed FFL dealer. I said, no, you don't. I said, she goes, yes, you do. I said, hold on. This is a BB gun. It's a BB gun. Like you can just buy off the shelf at Walmart. You're not required to have an FFL to transfer a BB gun or to buy a BB gun or to ship a BB gun. She goes, yes, actually, we do. That's the policy. So I walked out and I called their 1-800 number, their customer service number. Got this Pakistani guy or Indian, whatever he was, could barely speak English. I said, you need to call this store and square this lady away. She thinks that you have to have an FFL to ship a BB gun. And he says, yes, actually, that's true. That's our policy. I said, well, then, I will never ship anything through FedEx as long as I can help it because I don't want to do business with anybody with that type of failed mentality. Goodbye. So I drove to the UPS store and I told them what just happened and they stared at me like I had 5 heads. Are you serious? That's insane. You don't have to. No, here. So I took my business to UPS and I made up my mind right there, right then. I will never do business with FedEx if I don't absolutely have to. I'm not going to reject something if it comes to me FedEx, but I will never I'll go out of my way to take my business somewhere else if I can help it. Could not believe it. Requires an FF. Wow. What a warped mindset. Well, they're not worthy of our business. Okay, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. All 10 books out, including the audio books. Talked to him a couple weeks ago, too. Doing really good. Good to hear from him. And I got some ideas for some interviews. We got several interviews actually lined up that we're working on. I'm excited about that. And we'll be talking about that more. But not today. No interview today. It's just you're stuck with me. In international news, from The Sun, the U.S. sends special forces to Russian border as NATO is poised to strike back against Vladimir Putin's aggression. You guys already know this is old news. I had this from last week's notes from this week's notes I was going to cover yesterday. But no. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, stop breaks. I re-aired yesterday's show. I'm in the transition period between a computer that is dying and freezing up and all this stuff to this new computer. I'm reconfiguring it. So I missed my deadline. I just called the station. It's just re-air last week. So I'm going to get this fixed and operational. But I want to let you guys know, I was on the air with Matt Shea, Patriot Radio, went to his studio and sat in and guest hosted with him on Patriot Radio this Thursday. That's uploaded, and Pauly01's going to be posting a link to that. That was fun. We always have a good time talking about issues and just kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. But you do have that to listen to. I catch flack when we don't get a podcast out or do a show or when we re-air. So there's something for you to listen to. But, man... I'll tell you what, between throwing parties and going on $90 million vacations, Obama's trying to get us in a war with moving more military forces up against the borders around Russia, poking them with a stick. They're not going to get goaded into a fight. Some people have said he's trying to start World War III. Well, whatever he's trying to do, screw things up for Trump and complicate things for him, the Russians are not going to be goaded into World War III by Obama. So hold tight there, at least at this stage. All right. That country's run by former Soviet KGB Communist Party people. So don't put anything past them. But no, they're not going to try anything right now. So sit tight. We've got plenty of other threats from other places. The Palestinians are telling Trump, you move that embassy to Jerusalem, and that's going to be a declaration of war. From Ynet News, a close aide to Palestinian Authority, President Mahmoud Abbas calls Trump's stated intention to move the U.S. embassy to Israel's capital a declaration of war on Muslims, as another official threatened to call on Arab Muslim countries to remove embassies from Washington. They're not going to go anywhere. Palestinian Authority has stepped up its combative rhetoric against the U.S. president-elect. The sentiment was expressed by Palestinian Authority Mahmoud Abbas's close advisor. Well, this is what they say. Everything can collapse if the embassy will be moved to Jerusalem, said Al-Habash. It can open a wide door of possibilities that no one wants. He added that they will not be able to sit by if such moves occur. Okay, so what they're saying is, look, guys, we're not going to be able to help you from the chaos that's going to ensue if this happens. They're as if they have no hand in it. This is not a prediction of what will happen. This is a call to arms. They are calling for violence. If you read between the lines, they're not saying objectively this chaos could ensue. They are calling for chaos if the embassy moves to Jerusalem, which is where it should be. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Anyway, let's go to national news. Aggregate news headlines here that Redoubt News has been picking up on the last couple of days, doing a great job. And this first one from the Thanks Obama category. The White House has confirmed more Gitmo transfers before Obama leaves office. Readout News picked this one up off of Breitbart. President Barack Obama will likely release more prisoners from the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay. Thursday, that was announced. That same day, reports confirmed that the U.S. transferred 4 detainees to Saudi Arabia. This has placed the number of 11th-hour transfers at now 22, including the 4 recently sent to Saudi Arabia, adding that the group of prisoners who are expected to be released will include jihadis who have threatened to behead and bomb Americans. So to let combatives, operatives, to be released who have already sworn to behead and kill Americans, knowing this, is that not treason? Helping the enemy by freeing them to carry out threats that they've made or to join forces that are engaged in conflict and war, death and destruction against American and American interests. There's just not a willingness to arrest him for treason. But the case is there. Anybody with a brain can see it. From the Gateway Pundit, you guys have heard the Russians hacked the election process. They hacked the Democratic National Committee. They hacked these emails. Well, a lot of computer experts that are saying, didn't happen. In fact, the big dog, John McAfee, says one of the most brilliant cybersecurity experts has come forward to give his thoughts on the supposed Russian hack of the U.S. election. He said, the sloppiness of the alleged DNC... Wait, hold on. Am I quoting him? I want to make sure that I am. Okay. This is from RT. The sloppiness of the alleged DNC hack by itself proves it was not organized by a nation state. And the utter nonsense, quote, presented as proof of Moscow's involvement is rather evident of intelligence agencies being ignorant and naive, John McAfee told RT. Here's the bottom line. Let me read the bottom line here. His statement. The hack on the DNC used a piece of malware a year and a half old, and there have been many updates since then, McAfee said. This was done by an independent one-person kid that downloaded the software. Please, this is not an organized hack and certainly not a nation state that did this. But see, this isn't about mixing it up with Russia. The bottom line here is that this is to undermine the legitimacy of Trump as a president. That is the agenda here. All of this evidence from these high-level computer security experts are saying this has got all of the signs of someone amateur, not state level, doing this to make it and making it look like the Russians did it. So really what this comes down to is undermining the legitimacy of Trump as president. So this is what they're going to stand on. He's not even the real president because the Russians affected the election. So it didn't even count. That's the argument that they're presenting. Here's some good news for a chance, for a change. Students are fed up with politically biased professors, and they're hitting back with a new weapon. This is brilliant. It's called the Professor Watch List. Conservative student organization Turning Point USA has released a new project called the Professor Watch List. The website enables students and parents to research professors that have a history of promoting a radical liberal agenda in their classrooms. The mission of the project is simple: to expose and document college professors who discriminate against conservative students and advance leftist propaganda in the classroom. Brilliant. It's about time. So a 23-year-old kid come up with that. That's impressive. Good job. That's kind of thinking. Those are the outside-the-box thinkers that we need. Cutting edge, using the modern technology, the modern weapons, and the modern battlefield, the battlefield of information and ideas for these type of things. This is a great. Love seeing that. Al Sharpton promises a season of civil disobedience. What will ultimately turn into a season of lawlessness and anarchy in a lot of our urban areas. And they're all for it. They'll call it civil disobedience. Of course, they call a bunch of cowboys barbecuing at a wildlife refuge a terrorist act, but this will just be civil disobedience when they're burning cities to the ground. The National Action Network president, Reverend Al Sharpton, promised the season of civil disobedience in reaction to the nomination of Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican, Alabama, for Attorney General in the Trump administration. Why do they have ALA? Republican, ALA. Alabama? Or it should be either AL or AK. They don't know what they're doing there. Regional news. State of Liberty is building momentum all the time. Lots of stuff's going on behind the scenes there. Legislation is being prepared to be introduced to break off and break free and break the chains of tyranny from Western Washington, where Eastern Washington wants to form its own state. The State of Liberty will continue covering that as those developments unfold. And also in Readout News, here's one that'll make you shake your head. Out of Pocatello, Idaho, an Idaho man says he was being a good neighbor, trying to clear snow in front of the houses of elderly people living nearby. But he faces a $200 fine from the city for putting material on the street. What is that material? Snow. He says the monetary loss will not stop him from helping his neighbors by clearing sidewalks and streets of snow. He says, oh, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't care about the city. There you go. But isn't that, I can't imagine the fines that must be racked up against God for dumping all that material on the street. And here's the other thing, too. You guys are all getting a taste of this because now I think there are 48 states, I believe, now that are experiencing snow and ice conditions. What's the one state? Florida, that's getting out of it. Everyone else is experiencing snow and freezing rain and ice conditions. Bundle up, it's winter time. But when they come by with the snow plows, they dump an 18-inch high berm of material across each of your driveways. Do we get to charge the city? I mean, do people that live in the cities get to charge them? They have to go out there and physically remove that. But they want to take a guy shoveling snow and throw some snow out into the street and fine him $200. Insanity. All right. Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. And then we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you getting ready to retire in the People's Republic of California? Well, think again. You may need to hang on to that job indefinitely. The signs of the collapse are all around us, and I will continue to bring them to you. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here, and I'm bringing you the news and commentary that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Over the last few months, you've been hearing me rave about Sisters Coffee Roasters, and with good reason. It's the best coffee that I've ever tasted. I mean it. These two ladies take amazing care to ensure that the beans they provide you are the best that they can find. Colombian, Guatemalan, Sumatran, it doesn't matter. They are looking for the best beans, period. So if you go to www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us, You can order your roasted or unroasted beans for your everyday drinking needs or for your future food storage, and you will never, ever be disappointed. Remember, that's sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Two great sisters and some amazing coffee. That's sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Well, let's start off with the story tonight. It's about 71-year-old Patsy Jardin. She lives in a modest home in the city of Loyalton, California, and just received the biggest shock of her life. Her pension, that she has worked many, many years to fund, was just cut from $49,000 a year to a little over $19,000. That's a 60% drop. The thing about Loyalton, California, it's cute, it's quaint, and it's near just about nothing. In fact, it's more than 100 miles round trip to anything that really matters. How is she going to survive? She doesn't really know, but 3 years ago, the city council in Loyalton voted to leave the CalPERS system in order to save money. At that time, CalPERS, it was informed by the city of its pension accounts that were only 40% funded, despite the fact that Loyalton had paid all its previous bills. The city of Loyalton defaulted on their retirees, CalPERS Deputy Executive Officer Brad Pacheco said. They made a bad decision, and those retirees are going to suffer for it. Patsy says CalPERS cares more about the 3,000-plus cities and towns and municipal entities that pay into the fund than the people the pension fund is supposed to cover in retirement. Like Loyalton, CalPERS is far from fully funded, only 65% of it being paid. That means that right now, CalPERS only has 65 cents for every dollar it needs to provide pension benefits for almost 2 million people. Some of them are still working and not yet receiving pension benefits. The rest are retired and drawing funds from the CalPERS system. Brad Pacheco, the spokesperson again for CalPERS, told Fox Business Network that the pension fund is healthy, but in a negative cash flow position. You think? Quote, "We are paying more in benefits than we are taking out in contributions," he says. End quote. The CalPERS debt is roughly $164 billion and most likely will grow in the coming years. Fellow patriots, this is going to become even more commonplace over the next 3 years as retiree after retiree begins to access those funds. It cannot support itself. It was never being able to. Too little is being paid in, and now it goes to support the folks who are reaching the retirement age. We've talked about bonds and retirement funds recently. We know that more city governments are going to be seeing the same problem, even here in the readout. My advice, check with your broker today to make sure that you're not currently tied up in any type of these holdings. Make sure you're also holding physical gold and silver to protect yourself. If you haven't made that New Year's resolution, well, there's still a little time to make that happen. In other readout news, are you ready for your favorite cheeseburger to go up in price? Or maybe have your order taken by a robot? Here in the Washington part of the readout, the minimum wage will be increased to $11 starting January 1st, then $11.50 in 2018, $12 in 2019, and finally $13.50 in 2021. But beginning in 2021, each year after, L&I is required to make a cost of living adjustment to the minimum wage based on the CPI-W. Folks, the price of everything is going to go up and go up rapidly. Employers that I know and I've interviewed are scrambling to cover the cost of their increases and are doing everything from cutting hours to laying off people completely and taking those hours upon themselves. Socialism is in full swing, and it's going to have severely damaging repercussions for generations to come. Worse than this, over 20 states are doing the same thing. From D.C. to California, the increases are going to drive the prices up. Why did this happen? Well, because the left has run with the narrative of a fair living wage and continues to spread that they're using our youth to do it. I recently had the opportunity to talk with a millennial who has a minimum wage job here in the readout, and he has a degree in architectural history and was mad that he couldn't find a job that would pay his student loans. He actually felt he was owed this living wage because he took the time to get educated, unlike others, and I deserve a better paying job because I need a wage too. Folks, it's time to get back to some basics in the new year. The left is going to continue to push socialism and communism, and there's nothing we can do about it except be responsible for ourselves. You can grow your own food. You can teach your children skills they will need to fix their own items. You can model how a society should look, because as its aging population begins to drain the Social Security system and pension funds, and the millennials eat everything up from the bottom, the folks trapped in the middle are folks like you and I. We need to ensure that when this all else falls apart, we need to be ready to lead the next generation and teach them how to survive and maybe give them some hope as we rebuild. Thanks again for listening. And for those of us here in Eye in the Economy, we wish you the happiest of New Year. We pray that God watches over you and your families in the coming year. And may God smile upon the readout in 2017. Thanks again for listening. And for Eye in the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Welcome back to segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots to get strategically relocated into the heart of the American Redoubt, especially in the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Christian patriot-owned business that will take good care of you. Great, great folks. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. That's our website also, radiofreeredoubt.com, if you're listening on a CD or sent up a downloaded audio file that somebody gave you. And by the way, thank you all for helping spread the word about Radio Free Redoubt and the mission. And Stan, what is the mission? The mission is to inform you, to encourage you, to inspire you, to prepare you for the challenges ahead as God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. And also, we have a nationwide radio communications network called AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. It is nationwide, including operators in Canada and Puerto Rico and elsewhere. That actually could be expanding in correspondence with some folks that are really excited about what AMRON's doing and they want to be included. So we might just be adding more to that very soon. We do have some international members, actually, but they want to spread it out. Hey, how do I start a CH3 net and a local 2-meter net here in Australia? Well, you came to the right place. We'll get you pointed in the right direction. We'll see where that goes. Now, this segment, I want to talk about winter survival tips to help you guys out. I know you guys are a lot of your prepper-minded type of folks, but sometimes it just is a good reminder. Right now, we're in the middle of this major north push of cold weather coming down and covering, now they're saying 49 states in the United States are experiencing snow and ice conditions. California's getting pummeled right now by a massive storm. They say only comes once every 10 years or so. So I found an article that I had saved that I really liked. It's from disastersurvivalresources.com. And there's an article called Winter Survival Tips. So I want to go down through some of this. We'll post a link in our highlights and resources posting so you can go through and you can read it, print it out, copy it, put it in your own prepper binder. Some really good stuff in there. And you guys should have, we're going to cover a section on medical. We do, of course, a lot of stuff on communications. We're going to do some stuff on medical as well to help you become self-reliant. There's really good books out there. The Special Forces a Medic 18 Delta Handbook is excellent. Where There Is No Doctor, excellent. There's a bunch of them. And there's some great resources out there. Nurse Amy, outstanding. The Patriot Nurse, top notch. She's awesome. And of course, the USN ER doc, Dave over there at AMP3, great medical equipment and great training that they do. And he's a very prolific YouTuber, lots of videos out there. So for all your medical stuff, we're going to do a segment on that coming up. Let's talk about winter survival tips. First and foremost, one of the biggest threats during a major snowstorm is power outages, leaving you without heat in your home, the ability to cook food, access to hot water, lighting, and communication with the outside world. You get that? Food, water, shelter. Now, you got the shelter, but you have no electricity. So there goes your heat and your ability to cook, or access to hot water, and of course, lighting and communications. Big one. We pretty much got the communications covered in this listening audience. If you don't have something like that, get yourself some way to be able to monitor the situation through a scanner to listen to local traffic, and then a shortwave radio to listen to regional and national news and updates. Let's talk about cold weather. Take steps right now to obtain emergency backup power supply. Now, here at the Readout Ranch, we heat exclusively with the wood-burning stove, and we have a wood cook stove on the hearth right next to that. So power goes out, we've got battery backup, lighting, power, and our heat is taken care of. That's a big one. But know the difference between warnings, watches, and advisories. This is good advice, and I haven't really seen too many people really explain this, so here it is. A watch is an alert indicating the possibility of winter precipitation. This is most often announced 12 to 48 hours prior to the start of a winter storm. A warning is a statement. A winter warning is a statement made by the National Weather Service, which means a winter storm is already occurring or is about to occur in the local area. It's imminent. Usually, if it's not already happening, it's coming within 24 hours. Generally, a warning is issued if at least 4 inches to 6 inches of snow or more is in the forecast. I did not know that until I read this. The forecast could also include freezing rain and sleet, depending on the local area. In the southern United States, where winter weather is far less common, warning criteria is lower. Of course, a quarter of an inch of snow, any amount of snow sticking to the roads in the southern states, will cripple them, as we've seen in the news this week with major accidents all over the place. Minimize travel, of course. They've got an emergency vehicle, emergency kit that looks a lot like what I have in my vehicles. So let me go down here. I wanted to find something here. Outdoor winter survival tips. Aha. Because a lot of us are out there doing winter communications exercises and getting our comms gear out there in the middle of nowhere. Some people are snowshoeing in or driving four-wheel drive into remote areas, setting up their communications. When you're out there, avoid overexertion when shoveling snow or anything out there. Any type of overexertion can bring on a heart attack, a major cause of death in the winter. If you must shovel snow, stretch before going outside. Cover your mouth. Protect your lungs from extremely cold air by covering your mouth when outdoors. And we experienced that with sub-zero temperatures last week. Keep dry. Dry equals warm. Change wet clothing frequently to prevent loss of body heat. Wet clothing loses all of its insulating value and transmits heat rapidly out of your body. Watch for signs of frostbite. What does that look like? These include loss of feeling and white or pale appearance in extremities such as fingers, toes, earlobes, and the tips of the nose. If symptoms are detected, get medical help immediately. Watch for signs of hypothermia, uncontrollable shivering at the early stages, memory loss, disorientation, incoherence, slurred speech, drowsiness, and apparent exhaustion. A treatment for frostbite, you dunk it in hot water. No! Just kidding. All right, it's not real common, but it does happen. If you encounter somebody with frostbite, of course, get them to medical care. But if you've got a 2.5-hour snowmobile ride to get them out before you can get them to medical care, blood flow halts in frostbitten skin, and the area must be thawed and rewarmed swiftly to prevent tissue death, gangrene, and infection. The ears, nose, hands, and feet are particularly susceptible. And then there's a section here on hypothermia, which I strongly recommend. That's the killer, hypothermia. So I will let you guys read that, and then we'll come back. I want to talk about this situation that happened in Florida. It's really been gnawing at me, especially the way that it's been reported, or how it has not been reported. More on that right here in segment 3 at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Segment 3 is brought to you by Katie Armor. They've got the soft armor. They've got the hard plates, front, back, and sides. When they've got free shipping on everything. And they are located in the American Redoubt. Support a Patriot-owned business for your body armor needs. Great stuff. And they are, man, they've been slammed. I've not talked to him in a while. I've got to get back in touch with him. I know before the holidays, they were pretty slammed. Okay, this week. Oh, by the way, did I give the website address? katiearmor.com, katiearmor.com. This week we had a young man, an animal, actually, a sick person, get off a plane, took his checked baggage, took his legally carried pistol, presumably a 9mm, into the bathroom, loaded it, came back out, and started executing people. Now, after he was done, according to eyewitness accounts, after he had expended 3 magazines, why anybody didn't pounce on all these reports, I was 20 feet away from him, I was 10 feet away from him, I saw the whole thing. Then when he was reloading, why did you not get your coward butt out from behind the counter or wherever you were and level this guy? But anyway, after expending 3 magazines, miraculous, only, 9 people were killed, 13 people shot. Amazing. He threw the gun down and then laid down, face down, spread eagle, and waited for the police to show up and apprehend him. He's in custody now, and he's being interviewed and interrogated by the FBI. Law enforcement said he was found with an active duty military ID, and my heart sank. He's out of Puerto Rico originally, but he flew in from Anchorage, where he's lived for several years. Other reports started coming in. PTSD, this guy's disturbed. He came from Iraq, from a year in Iraq. Not right in the head, all messed up. I don't understand. I mean, I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I know the guys that have been in Iraq and Afghanistan and seen stuff. Some pretty horrendous stuff. I saw some pretty grotesque stuff, but not on the level that we saw. And I didn't have to watch my buddies get blown to pieces. I was not around any of that. Nobody that I was with got hurt. But there's a problem here, and I don't understand it. This PTSD pandemic or epidemic. Why a soldier can go to war, come back, and mow a bunch of people down because he has PTSD does not compute with me. I've done a lot of studying on PTSD. I try to understand it. I just don't grasp it. Why somebody cannot function. But that's an individual thing. I can't speak to that. But I know the guys deal with it all the time. And they got it under control. And sometimes it's a battle. But they get back in life. They pull their boots straps up. And they re-engage. We had some of the most horrendous things witnessed by World War I, World War II, Korean, Vietnam, and Desert Storm veterans, and even Iraq veterans. and Afghanistan veterans who did not come back all screwed up in the head and start murdering innocent people. There's more to the story. We're finding out now that this guy in November walked into an FBI office in Anchorage, reportedly, according to this, I'm looking at CBSLocal.com. In Anchorage, he went into the FBI agent and claimed that he was being forced to fight for ISIS. He was sent to a psychiatric hospital. Now, as this was unfolding, I was getting texts coming in, and there was reports of a second shooting in the parking garage area. And then another one came in a little bit later, confirmed shooting, second incident. Instantly, my mind went to jihad. This is jihad. This is Islam. This is Islam. Now, the FBI is saying they can't confirm if there was anything in the parking garage, even though people who were there saying, we heard shots fired, we were all running, we were told to run, and the SWAT team came, you know, coming into the area. But now the official reports, we can't confirm that there was a second shooter. So we don't know. Bad information, bad intel. But there was a lot of people that were there, witnesses that said, all independent from each other, that said they heard other shots fired. So I went, oh, Islam. As soon as they started saying, no confirmed second shooter, it's just the one guy, we got him, military ID, PTSD, it started going that direction. I went back, my heart sank. And started doing some research, or other people started doing some research and started feeding it into me. And my instincts were that this was a jihadi attack. I've learned over the years to trust my gut. There's an article here, multiple articles now, jihadwatch.com, gotnews.com, Chicago Tribune, cnn.com, that are all starting to corroborate a different story other than just the soldier that went off the deep end from Iraq and came back to the U.S. and he lost it. Fort Lauderdale shooter was Ashiq Hamad on MySpace, and he recorded Islamic music. Oh, Islamic music doesn't make you a terrorist. Well, there's more to this. Apparently, the Fort Lauderdale shooter, according to the Chicago Tribune, Esteban Santiago, is from Pinuelas, Puerto Rico, and has a brother named Brian. Now, this is important because a little bit later here, Fort Lauderdale, he joined MySpace as Ashiq Hamad, recorded Islamic music. This is on Got News. He registered on MySpace under the name of Ashiq Hamad and recorded Islamic religious music on the site 3 years before he ever deployed to Iraq as a soldier, destroying the lying mainstream media's narrative that he was just a mentally disturbed veteran and that Islam had nothing to do with it. But here's what these guys have found out. They did a really good job at this. This is Jihad Watch. The email address that they pulled up, naotao17@gmail.com. Okay, it goes back to Santiago Esteban. They tied this email address to a Facebook account. You can do a search based on email address. And there it is, Ashiq Hamad. And there's Islamic music. Well, what's the Islamic music all about? Why is this even important? The three songs recorded by Ashiq Hamad, the first one is titled La Ilaha Il Allah, which is Arabic for There Is No God But Allah, and the first half of the Muslim Declaration of Faith, the Shahada. This is looking like this was a converted Muslim, and possibly even before he even went to Iraq. Maybe that's why he was tormented because he went to war, I don't know. I just know that I'm sick and tired of our media refusing to do their duty and bring the truth out and bury this stuff. So more's going to come out and we're going to follow this. But this, I knew something in my gut was, this is so much more than just a soldier with PTSD. And now we're learning it. And there's a great assessment I'm going to talk about in segment four by a new website, a new outfit called Disobedient Media. Very impressive. With an article, Global Chess, that we're going to repost. I'm going to cover that article when we come back in segment four. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Stay right there.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Resist DC, a step-by-step plan for freedom. That was the article published last week all over the internet from the 10th Amendment Center website to lewrockwell.com. So why a plan? People like Glenn Beck have done a great job identifying the many problems facing our country. Groups like the 9-12ers and Tea Parties have put government on notice to cease and desist the wild spending and bold attempts to transform these United States to socialism. The protests and even the state sovereignty resolutions have been outright ignored, though. So now it's time to move from protest to action. Well, this summer, legislators from several states got together and formulated a five-step plan. That's 5 steps and 10 bills. First, we must reclaim state sovereignty through key pieces of nullification legislation, such as nullifying a national cap-and-trade system or socialized health care. Second, we must erect an impenetrable barrier around the Second Amendment and the county sheriff. Third, we must restore sound and honest money. Fourth, if the state legislatures across the country refuse to pass the sovereignty legislation, then the people will, through the initiative process. The bills are even pre-drafted and on the internet. Fifth, the people need to approach the county sheriff and have him or her reaffirm their oath to protect and defend the Constitution. That's the plan. It's that simple. And if the legislatures won't pass it, the people will. This isn't about party politics or violent overthrow of the government. It's about freedom. It's about restoring a God-honoring constitutional republic. At least, that's the way I see it. For more information, please go to the 10th Amendment Center's website and read the article entitled Resist DC, a Step-by-Step Plan for Freedom. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Segment four at Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back, right-wing mainstreamists, and friends, family, and partisans, and patriots, and preppers out there, and redoubters. This is segment four, which is brought to you by StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. Do you have a complete plan for the development of your property? And does that plan locate each current and future building, bunker, garden, livestock area, and other resources? Does the location of each of these items enhance the other? Are they integrated? Well, give StrategicLandscapeDesign.com a call today. Check them out to help you with your planning on your property or retreat. So, what I want to get into is this article here by Disobedient Media. It's global, under Global Chess. And it really makes the case for the true threat that the deniers don't want to face up to. And that is the threat that ISIS places on the United States. Even the director of the FBI, James Comey, has stated that ISIS now has a presence in all 50 of the United States. There's an article over at ABC 7 News Chicago. This presence varies in its form from state to state. It exists in the form of smaller cells attached to a mosque run by radicalized imams, paramilitary groups operating out of compounds throughout the U.S., reinforced by veterans and command figures from ISIS's Syria theater and bolstered by recruits from American minority communities. If all the reports outlined here are in fact found to be true, ISIS has managed to amass a terrifyingly impressive network across the United States that would be capable of wreaking heavy damage in the event of a large-scale terror incident. This article we're going to post, full credit goes to Disobedient Media for this great piece of investigative work by Global Chess, or titled Global Chess. There is a map that they link to showing the locations of the most of the compounds run by Jamaat ul-Fukra. They're establishing and have established training camps that the FBI is aware of. At least one established network of paramilitary training camps has been public knowledge since at least the 1980s. The Jamaat ul-Fukra, or Muslims of America Network, has run a network of camps estimated in a report from Sean Hannity to be spread across 35 different locations. The report, which is linked in this article, show a number of Islamic Jihad-style military training videos filmed at these sites in the United States. And the right-wing extremists are the biggest terror threat that we face. Hannity's report and the piece by that was done by WorldNet Daily both mention the fact that Jamaat ul-Fukra has produced a video titled Soldiers of Allah, where Jilani states, "We are fighting to destroy the enemy. We are dealing with evil at its roots, and its roots are America." Direct quote. When we take an oath to defend this country and the Constitution against all threats, foreign and domestic, if there was ever a domestic threat to America and our Constitution, this is it. From their own words. And this administration for the last 8 years has been an apologist for Islam and has even had the guts to call patriots the real threat. There are multiple links here with videos that'll take you to videos documenting this. This is well documented. The authorities attempted to claim that the individual arrested, Ahmad Khan Rahami, acted alone and there was no cell, but that contradicts other prior reports, complete with footage showing multiple other video individuals who were active in the terror operation. The lone wolf narrative, pushed by the mainstream media, is a lie in almost every single case. Wherever there is a lone wolf, there is a bigger wolf pack nearby providing logistical and operational support. In this article I'm reading, we've all seen the damage that individual attackers have caused in various terror incidents and how much chaos an entire squad of ISIS operatives, such as those who perpetrated the 2015 Paris attacks, can cause. Imagine what will happen when all of them decide to attack at once. Well, is there any even a reality that they would all? What's the odds of that? Across the country, and this has been revealed, and this was part of an intelligence briefing that I attended in Phoenix in 2015, using mosques as centers for radicalization. Not only that, they're using them as military jump-off points and military caches, weapons caches. In addition to training camps, domestic ISIS terrorists seem to have been groomed to some extent at local mosques by extremist imams. It is, of course, not logistically tenable to have paramilitary wings located in every single U.S. state. In such cases, smaller cells coordinated by handlers preaching extremist Wahhabist or Salafist Islam are a much more secure and low-profile option. Mosques in Europe have been proven to be at risk of being co-opted by jihadi groups for use as operation centers. In the aftermath of the Paris terror attacks, French authorities raided a number of mosques and made more than 200 arrests, confiscating 334 weapons, of which 34 were described as war-grade. That means machine guns or rocket launchers. The raids led to the closure of over 100 mosques in France. I would bet you pretty much anything that if there was a raid on the mosques in America, there are massive arsenals being amassed there. Why do I think that? Because that's what they do all around the world. Oh, except America. Don't be fooled. American security officials have also highlighted that many mosques in the United States are involved to some extent with extremism. Breitbart cited a former FBI counterterrorism special agent, who was the one who actually gave the briefing that I attended, as having the opinion that as many as 75% of American mosques were used by jihadist networks, including, in the intelligence briefing that I attended, as arms caches. There's so much here smuggling Syrian veterans and command figures into the U.S. Documentation, more of it right here. What really is the scary part, how ISIS can cross from the West Africa to the Western Hemisphere. How do you think they could do that? Through Central America. And that's precisely what they're doing. They're coming over from Africa into Central America. And now they are south of the border working with cartels. Judicial Watch has reports that have confirmed the United States government is either negligently ignoring these facts or factions within it are attempting to prevent action from being taken to deal with ISIS. That's a quote from this article, who are actually quoting the Free Thought Project. But Judicial Watch has documented cartels working with ISIS and jihadi training south of the border. Isn't that just wonderful? Get the cartels working with ISIS, radicalizing and Islamizing the black youth in American cities, and of course the prisons. All this is covered here. Let me tell you something, folks. Well, let me finish up here. The fact that certain agencies and news groups have engaged in legalistic denials of reports about the growing ISIS threat to the United States certainly indicates that the latter might sadly be the case. I wanted to point to something here. No militia can stop this with basic infantry skills. This is something that every individual citizen will have to accept responsibility for the duty of being armed at all times. Our nation's security depends on it, and our families and our communities. You will not be able to mobilize a militia in time to respond to an active shooter situation. The tactics here are very asymmetrical. I'm going to read from you the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, which reads, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." I think it would be more appropriate to reword that. Using the same words, not changing any of the wording, but changing the structure and the flow of the sentence. It should read this way: being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, and to form and maintain trained militias shall not be infringed. See, it's not so much about militias, except for the argument that every free citizen is a member of the militia. But it is necessary to the security of a free state that the right be respected of every individual to keep and bear arms. And it's our duty to exercise that right, because it's necessary to the security of a free state. Especially with the enemies that we're facing, their tactics are like we've seen in Florida twice, like we saw in San Bernardino, like we've seen countless times across the country. A guy in a crowd pulls out a gun or a knife and he just starts going to work. In, what was the scripture for this? Mark, I think it's Mark 22, if I'm not mistaken. Pull this in here. And Jesus said, when I sent you out without a money bag and without a knapsack and without sandals, did you lack anything? Nope, nothing. They had everything they needed. It was all supernaturally provided for them the first time he sent them out. But something in the world changed. The tactical situation changed. He said to them, but now, he who has a money bag, let him take it. Don't leave it behind. Take your knapsack. Don't leave it behind. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. So the times have changed. Our tactical security situation has changed. Now it's time for you to be able to provide, have provisions to meet your needs, and also to protect life. If you don't have a sword, you need to go buy one. And that's how I want to end today's show. If you guys think about that. I know I've said this before, but I'm going to keep saying it. But we do got other things that we're going to be talking about. We've got some great interviews coming up, and I'm looking very forward to that. But I want to share my thoughts on that. This is more than just a PTSD, card-carrying service member, Iraqi veteran who went off the deep end. Once again, the evil among us has surfaced. All right, you guys have a blessed week. I am going to be producing a partisan radio episode. I'll start on that tonight, finish it up tomorrow, get that uploaded tomorrow night. My goal is to have those in by Monday evening, Monday night. So those are ready for you for the week. Start talking about emergency communications. Got some resources I want to throw out there and some stuff that we've been – great resources that several of you out there, Ameron operators, have been sending in. Thank you guys for that. I'll be sharing that with you guys on Partisan Radio, Volume 42 or 43. I got to look. That'll be available for you then. All right. Have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.